Here we go. The weekend's over with one significant trade, might I add, with Seth Jones going to the Florida Panthers. So here we go. Till Friday, March 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern. Let's welcome in, still in for the vacationing, Justin Bourne.
One more day.
Like, where did he go? Half across the world here?
Well, Disney World will seem like half across the world. When he comes home exhausted, it's like waiting in line to get your driver's license. That's what Disney's like, whatever. So anyway, and he'll come back broke and ready to get back at it.
So, one more day. For those of you listening or watching on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus, you don't need to go to Disney to find a couple of goofy characters. We've got them right here in Gord Stellick and Sammy McKee. Derek Brandeo and Jake Schultz hold their own as well. And we're with you for the next 2 hours, including our Leaf Edition hour of the program. Toronto Maple Leafs finish off a perfect road trip with a 6-5 overtime win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Gord, is this one where you just bank the points?
Absolutely.
And don't worry about
burn the tape.
Style points.
Kippy, when that game ended yesterday afternoon, I got so caught up in things. I drove down to Maple Leaf Gardens. I thought I was still general manager of the Leafs. I thought it was a game for my era.
In the Adams division?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and four of the five teams make the playoffs, and we can make it with a 300 record. Then I pulled up there, and there's a grocery store there. They don't even play there anymore. So it really did remind me of that kind of game. So you had the win over Boston. They came from three back. Probably that was their best win. The game you did Friday, nice, tidy win on the road against the New York Rangers. And then I love the absurdity every now and then. I love it. They always say coaches. You know, I think every now and then a coach doesn't mind it. You're kind of at a party that you're not sure which way it's going to go. Like, it could be a real good party or it could go south. You're not too sure, you know, kind of thing. And that's what yesterday was like.
Anecdotally, and they mentioned it a bit on the broadcast, it does feel like 1 p.m. puck drops or earlier puck drops kind of lend themselves to a little bit more squirrely hockey games. And that one to me was just like a team that was at the end of a road trip and a team that's not very good and a really electric building for a 1 p.m. puck drop with the dueling go Leafs go and let's go Pens. It was just a really weird game yesterday, where the way it starts, the way it finishes and all that. But yeah, you mentioned the coach. I wouldn't say the coach was thrilled after the game, if I do say so myself.
Is that part of your first clip of Craig Berube and his overview of the game? Let's go to that and we'll pick it up.
Listen to this and think if he's thrilled or not. Clip one.
Yeah, it's not how we wanted to draw it up, but happens sometimes. We made a couple mistakes and put ourselves in a little bit of a hole, but guys stayed with it, climbed out of it, found a way to get the win, which is great. Just kind of a little too high of a bent of a game.
God, he's so nice.
He's supposed
to say it. It just stunk. It's okay.
He's supposed to say that. We're finding ways to win. What about finding ways to win?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wait, another great game.
No, we lost
by one goal. We've lost eight in a row. Oh, we're trying so hard. Whatever. Yep. I've been through that era. You know, I remember one guy, I was one of our scouts at the end of a game that we lost again, and he would go and go back to the office. He'd go, because he'd be blaming the coach, right? It's easy to blame the coach. You go, would you trade their team for our team? I go, freaking right, I'd trade their team for our team. Like, what are you talking about? Like, after, you know, like a Mario Lemieux on that team, whatever, you know? And so you get caught up in that kind of narrative.
Yeah,
so whatever.
Yeah.
Take the points and run.
To Sammy's point, though, it did feel like a Sunday night, midnight beer league game.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, did it not? Where it's like just... yeah, whatever. Last shot wins, and I'm not coming all the way back, but I'll just float around the neutral zone and hope there's a turnover. Like, the cheating that went on from both clubs was, like,
Austin Matthews
scary.
Will never win a Selke trophy if that clip keeps getting played, right? The start of the third period.
Yes. Raquel, where he takes the wrong route.
Yes.
You're kind of like, you're still jacked about Matthew Nye's goal, and then you turn it on, you go, this looks what? What? Can I at least Matthew and Ives was going full speed, intercepted, running for the touchdown, whatever. This one was like, okay, one goal lead, you know, whatever. So, because that's one thing Austin Matthews has been doing well. whatever injury he may or may not have, he's been very attentive to the defensive side of the games.
Can I do find that the way that game played out and the way that they've won five games in a row coming out of the Four Nations faceoff break, including the first game back against Carolina. And I do think that myself and a lot of Leaf fans sort of have this feeling about the team where they've been bailed out by goaltending a lot of nights, and a lot of nights it hasn't really looked particularly great. And I think both of you guys would agree with that. But at the end of the day, you look where they are in the standings, you look at their banking points, you're hoping you're going to add something at the deadline.
Yeah.
Like, I do think you have to give them some credit for how well they've played. I mean, like, how many points they've accumulated without playing that great in a lot of games.
You know, we're going to go into tonight, another team, and of the last six games.
Yeah.
Right? What there was five in a row now? They've won?
They won five in a row.
Five in a row, including the four on the road.
Right.
13-3 in their last 16 row games, by the way.
Some of the weaker teams, all of them, except for Carolina.
No, non-playoff teams.
Yeah, except for Carolina.
Except for Carolina, who's playing like a non-playoff team.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so where are you on, it's just, you just play down to your opponents. Leafs have been able to do that in the past, but find ways to lose. It looks like to me like they're still playing down to opponents, but they're finding ways to win, which is a good thing. But outside of tonight, where they have to bank these 2 points, there's just no ifs or buts on it. They have to bank the 2 points. Now we go into this week with Vegas on Wednesday, Colorado, I believe, Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then Utah, which should be not an easy game if they're still thinking that they've got a shot at hanging into a playoff spot. We'll get a better idea this coming week, will we not, than what we've seen since Four Nations?
Well, okay, we're talking about a team that's won five straight.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about a team that's won five straight. So they can only play the opponents that the schedule puts in front of them. So, as far as, the playoffs, you're right. Because one thing, when the playoffs start, those teams are gone. Right, so five of those six teams, or whatever, four of the five aren't, and the one tonight. So five of the six won't be there. And to your point about raising up to playing a really good team, because that's what they failed. Well, 2 years in a row, they had Columbus and Montreal, but, you know, all the past history. But otherwise, they've had to play a real tough team in the first round. So, you know, you say, okay, if you come first, you won't have to play as tough a team in the first round. Okay, great. But you still got to beat whomever it's going to be. You got to find a way as a team and those bigger players. So I do agree, as far as whatever readiness may be, I think Mitch Marner's already had a really good taste of playing elite hockey and winning and getting the big goal and being on the big stage and coming through. So, yes, can this help? Maybe for these goaltenders who are really unproven playoff goaltenders as well. So, yes. So enjoy this particular ride. It's going to get bumpier, but you know, like I said, it will be a better test. I agree with you.
And after that game on against Utah, the next matchup, I think, is against Florida. So they have a good test of games, but I saw somewhere that coming out of the Four Nations break, that they had the easiest strength of schedule left in the NHL, the Leafs did. I think the winning percentage of their remaining teams was the lowest amongst. So there is a chance here for them to play some not-so-great competition and bank some points. And, you know, like I said, I really do think you have to give them credit for accumulating points and finding a way. Like, you know, the general manager signed the goalie who has given them how many extra points this year?
Yeah.
12 extra points, 10 extra points than they would have had in years past. Like, they just have gotten clutch performances at the right time to accumulate these points, and it may not be pretty, but I got to give them credit.
Winning without Tanev, too.
Well, that's another point. Like, so you would think after winning five in a row, and not seeing Tanev in there, you'd be going, wow, we're still pretty darn good. Is that what you've seen?
No. Like, I didn't think they're very good at Friday against the Rangers at all.
So are they significantly weaker? Like, you're telling me they've found ways to win. That's a good thing. So what does that do for Brad Treliving now going into Friday's deadline when it comes to his blue line here? Like, I'm watching this week going, life without Chris Tanev makes me nervous about getting out of a first round.
Well, you, whatever his big picture plan is, he's going to stick with it. I think Toronto's like, you got New Jersey possibly reacting because of the Hughes injury. You got Doug Armstrong on St. Louis maybe revisiting, saying, you know those calls, I'm not open for business anymore. I think Toronto, whatever their template was, their plan, and part of it would be to get a depth defense. But I just don't see them doing the wow factor. I know people love to hear and have the wow factor, but no question, they need some more depth.
Yeah, I was a little worried going to the playoffs with Chris Tanev in terms of the amount of ice time that you're still giving to guys like Benoit, guys like Timmins, who have had okay years, but there's been ups and downs with both of them big time. Myers plays 20 minutes on yesterday. Like, there is a world with even Chris Tanev playing at the top of his game where the decor isn't good enough as presently constituted. So I think even with him in the lineup, you need to make an addition to add a depth guy. Maybe not even a depth guy, like an impact guy. I don't know.
We watched the Florida Panthers in the Atlantic Division get stronger with Seth Jones. And does that put heat on Toronto in and itself, Gord?
Okay. How's Aaron Ekblad feeling right now?
Yeah.
Yo, I mean, whatever. You screw around with of your club, and he's going, well, isn't that my $7 million? I've been a number one overall pick.
No, it's north of seven.
Well, whatever. Seven's, I mean, but that's $7 million to apply. Like, are they saying Sam Bennett's not coming back? But anyway, to answer your question, okay, Seth, let's find out what Seth Jones is. I think he's better than Aaron Ekblad. Okay, whatever. But I mean, like, is
Eric Ekblad's been good for them.
They're both solid. Like, I mean, so Seth Jones, the wow factor, like when he was traded one for one for Ryan Johansson, it was like, wow, that's a trade of two elite young players. And then
he didn't end up being the superstar that everybody thought.
No, Zach Werenski, far better player as we sit here,
today.
Yeah, and they were teammates, right? So the kind of thing is, all of a sudden you get a chance to go back in a pod, like all of us in life. Yeah, I don't know. Same with you, Sammy. Like, I mean, certainly. Like, when I was doing rink reporting on TV 11 of Leaf games, 5'9", 245 pounds down there, whatever, sweating every time they threw to you. Matt Sundin up there wasn't the best look, okay? Career didn't go a long time that way. So, whatever. So, not that so you get on radio and you get to chat and comfortable.
And now you're a star.
You said it well. There we go. Anyway, no, but I mean, just that kind of thing. A better environment, me to thrive, okay? And this is what we're going to find about Seth Jones. How much was he part of the, quote, problem in Chicago? And how much did it weigh him down?
He was a man on an island there. He played 24, 25 minutes many nights.
That's the case.
He's not going to have to be the guy there. It's spread out. You can keep him between 18 and 20 minutes. He can focus more on a better structure.
Isn't it like OEL?
The team. I think he's going to do well.
Okay, Oliver Ekman-Larsson was the second defenseman picked after Victor Hedman. Okay in Arizona, but so-so. Vancouver, a disaster. He had some other things that went on as well, but found his way in Florida.
Forsling's found his way. Yeah. Mikkola's found his way. This is Bill Zito, and they've had a history in Columbus together.
Mm-hmm. And this is what the Red Wings used to do. You came to Detroit and you got your game back, right?
Sammy.
I'm just telling you right now, that's going to work out beautifully for the Panthers. That's like you said, all those names you laid out there, the support system, all the guys that play, well-coached team, good organization. He wants to be there. He's re-energized. Yeah. That to me. But to answer your question about the Leafs needing to respond to that, I mean, that's a team in your division that you were in direct competition with that you could very, very well see in a playoff series in spring that got better, right? Like they subtracted Spencer Knight. They subtracted a first-round pick. Neither of them are going to contribute. They just got a player on their roster, added a guy. They are better as presently constituted. So if you're looking at Treliving, you'd feel like you have to not say respond, but you do have to get better. You do have to add a defenseman. I don't know how human nature, you can't respond to that.
But to Gord's point earlier at the top of the show, it might not be the big bang everybody's expecting in Leaf Nation, that it could just be right where they said that they would be. A depth guy, Yannick Gord, Scott Laughton, or a third pairing D.
Yeah.
Look at Ron Hainsey and that's Pittsburgh, Trevor Daley in Pittsburgh when they got added, right?
No Shen. And St. Louis lost last night, but they did enough to go into this week to sit there and go, do we really want to trade our captain now?
Get to blow us away to do it.
And if I'll trade him in the summer.
Yeah.
Or with 3 more years left on his contract, I'll sell him next March and still get a decent return. I don't necessarily have to do it now.
Yeah. No, totally. And Leafs got kind of caught up with that about the sexiness of Nick Foligno. Grant, he did not have term left, but, you know, it wasn't what they needed then, right? And also, when they're saying you got to pay a lot for him, well, then forget it. You know, you got to pay, you got to pay Matthew Nyes for him? And Sammy, you don't have to react to another team doing something. Like, if
you don't think so?
No, Kippy drives his Porsche. I got to stick with my Mazda. There's not much I can do. I just hope his breaks down. You know, that's all. Because they're a little bit more finicky in that. I got my durable one, whatever kind of thing. I'll drive by when you're on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So who's I won't offer you a ride because you criticized me when I offered you a ride that time.
So who's the Mazda? Simone Benoit? Who's the Mazda? Who are we talking here?
Sometimes it's the driver and not the car.
Correct.
I just look at the Florida Panthers cap page here. And they add Seth Jones at $7 million, which in the new cap era, that doesn't feel like it's going to be that substantial for going forward here. But they put Matthew Tkachuk on LTIR, and they now at the deadline, according to this cap wages, I'm just going to go off of it. They have 8.7 in deadline cap space as we stand here. So I think a lot of Leaf fans, myself included, are looking at what they've done already, what they potentially could do, and that's got people really worried.
But they lost Montour. They lost OEL in the summer. Yeah. Toronto gained OEL and gained Tanev, okay? The price of winning the Stanley Cup was a lot of guys, after they celebrated for a week, left Florida. That's just the way it was. So I know there's still the big pieces, but there are a lot of other ones that they had to try to get that comparable blue line like they had last year.
But now they've added Seth Jones and they still have $8.7 million to play with heading into the deadline, which you feel like they're going to use, right? They're using the LTIR advantage. And, you know, we all talked about how the Four Nations face-off maybe come at a cost for the Florida Panthers. Well,
listen,
it could be an advantage.
They also shed $4.5 million off of Spencer Knight. That's huge. So it's not the swing of just Matthew Tkachuk going on LTIR. They got rid of $4.5 million, so it's only really adding $3.5 million, if that, for Seth Jones. That's the added cap hit, $3.5 million, and then obviously Matthew Tkachuk now almost puts him in a position to go, maybe we can get somebody else now.
Yeah, and Dallas is in that position too, right? And they actually passed on Seth, or they didn't. They tried to grind it a bit more to get.
It does suck though, I'm telling you, and.
What sucks?
The long-term IR and the way teams can take advantage of it to the point where they could add another $10-15 million to their salary cap.
Well, the players are really hurt though.
I'm not questioning, you know, whether people are cheating or not. I'm just saying that, you know, the Leafs, it sucks that John Tavares isn't hurt right now temporarily.
So what's the skinny? What's the skinny you're hearing in the NHL NHLPA negotiations? Right, because they seem to be going along. The collective bargaining agreement is up relatively soon. Do you think there's an understanding that needs to be addressed or not?
I have not heard much on that front, to be honest with you. It has to be a conversation where this is probably starts with. Ownership, that would almost be an internal conversation between owners going, you know, I'm sick and tired of watching teams add great players because...
But the players aren't sick and tired, correct?
You find ways to have your important players hurt at the right time, and I don't. I mean, as a player, you want... as much money in the system as you can, and
which this does.
You want as many opportunities as you can get too. So
Kucherov wore the T-shirt, right?
I think the players would be fine if I believe the owners wouldn't be.
I don't, but I think it's something that have to be collectively bargained. Right now, Kucherov wore the T-shirt a couple of years ago, right? Whatever millions they were over, and it is it is a way to, I don't circumvent the caps a bit strong, but it's kind of been a way to take a disadvantaged situation, turn it into a positive that they really hadn't anticipated.
It's a huge, like, and that's the thing that you said about the Leafs, and it feels as though this is something that's going to close up in the next couple years, you would imagine. Like, it really does. And Tampa's...
If it doesn't get collectively bargained, it may never close up. I don't know.
I feel like there's enough of a conversation around it with the Mark Stone thing with multiple years in a row, the Kucherov thing. And now you've seen the Leafs have two of their division rivals use this to their advantage. Because I saw a story on Sportsnet.ca talking about Matthew Tkachuk. Oh, he's hoping to be ready for playoffs. Gee, I wonder if he's going to be ready.
You know what?
Right? Like, I wonder if he's going to be ready.
I do too. And God. I'm being legit. I'm not being facetious. I'm legit. If he has as significant of an injury to his groin as many believe, I'm not sure he's going to be ready. And if he is ready, at what level can he come back off of that type of injury and hit the high note? So, it's not written in stone for me that this guy's just going to lay low in the weeds like Kucherov and then shoot it out of a cannon.
Yeah, there's the assumption that the Kucherov example
you tell
is
me.
A bad example. Significant injury that he doesn't get back at all, the whole playoff.
Yeah.
Or the whole playoff, he's a shell, relatively speaking, of his 100%.
I think he's really hurt. This guy doesn't, he's not a, this guy wants to play.
I agree. Yeah. Right? I think he's hurt, but I do think he's going to be better game one.
Well,
that's where I'm at.
You're a good doctor.
Got his medical degree.
You're a good doctor.
I mean, Mark Stone, oh my God, he lifts off the ice at practice in the last game, he plays game one. Like, I would be willing to bet a ton of money. So, I don't have a lot of it. But that he would play game one. Anyway,
staying on that topic, Yarncroke was another guy that you could have easily found a way to say, stay off the books, bud, till the end of the season. But they brought him back, and he's in the lineup tonight, is he not, Sammy?
He's looking to play. I think he's playing on the fourth line.
Right. And this is where the Toronto Maple Leafs are full value. If a player's ready to play, we're not asking him to fake.
But there's 20 games left in the season.
I know.
If there were 7 or 8, you know, whatever. But, I mean, there's 20 games. So, I mean,
But the important thing is that he had his surgery.
Yeah.
So you're saying tell
him to be a good soldier and just show up for the playoffs.
He's been practicing. I'm saying that they could have tried to find a way to do that, but they chose not to. If a player is deemed ready, then we're bringing him back.
Well, and also keep in mind, you really have never got out of the first round except once, and then you quickly were thumped in the second round. So if you think he has value to the team, then you want him to get game experience, you know. And so great if he sat out and you got that cap space, but he comes not really ready in game number one, just like we're talking about Tkachuk on the Florida side.
And the Leafs, between now and Friday, if they feel like there's something out there that's of significance, they can still try to move camps 2+. There's Domi's 3+, and then now there's Yarncroke's 2+. Like, those contracts could be moved if they feel like they need space.
As part of a package to get somebody with a higher number on their contract, but. Don't all those guys have, I think even Yarncroke has a potential no move. Doesn't Kampf have a limited one?
Whatever it is. It's not complete.
Mm-hmm.
So just find a broker, find a third team, find a team. Like, it's not impossible.
Okay.
It even seems like JT Miller, and just saw in Seth Jones' case as well, that players are a little bit more amenable if you approach them and they can choose where they're going, right? You know, just rather than saying, okay, you know, it's going to suck for you here. There's been more of that kind of, more, well, I mean, geez, look at the Rangers with Jacob Trouba and all. Like, look, Barkley Goodrow. I just mean there's been more of that kind of understanding that, okay, they're gonna make life miserable, get rid of you in some way, shape, or form. So maybe try to get ahead of the narrative if they're bringing it to you.
Few things from the game yesterday in terms of milestones. I saw that Marner 714th career point on his third goal to surpass George Armstrong for fifth on all-time Maple Leafs list. Matthews scores his 390th to pass Daryl Sittler for second all-time. I think William Nylander scored to give it was the 252nd goal of his career to surpass Bob Pulford for sole possession in 10th in franchise history. You know, they were talking about that throughout the game, and it really got me just, you know, not sad or depressed about this, but just how much these guys need to sort of have the playoff success. Because I think a lot of Leaf fans, myself included, I really want to cherish this era of Maple Leafs hockey with some of the best players that have ever played for the franchise, but I really have a hard time measuring it against the lack of playoff success and how deep they've gone. I shouldn't feel the way I feel about Austin Matthews sometimes. I shouldn't feel the way I feel about Mitch Marner. The same with William Nylander. They're three of the greatest players in franchise history. And I'm not saying they're underappreciated, because that's not the case. It's Toronto. They're overappreciated. It's just, it's a complicated relationship. It really is.
I don't know. You just told us if they lose on in the first round, they will be known as the biggest failures in Maple Leaf history.
Listen, I don't want to go there, but like, look at these regular season accolades. Matthews is second already. He was drafted yesterday. And it's just like they've had one playoff.
The man had a higher goal pace than Ovi's back at his age.
Marner is fifth all-time in points. Well, and how old is he? Like, it's just, it's...
It is remarkable.
Oh, I know.
It is.
And that's where we keep going back to it, starting game number 83. Yeah. But I still love the era they brought in the regular season, and every sport has. Now, thank goodness the Atlanta Braves did win one World Series, okay? But they had some ridiculous run, was it 14 years or something? Like they were first or whatever. So at least they won one. You know, and again, that's what's lacking for Toronto. Washington Capitals won one. Now, Toronto, you're not even talking about going deep, you know, yet. But hopefully, you're right. That'll always be lacking. I mean, guys like Daryl Sittler and Börje Salming had good runs early on, but no, they never realized the zenith of winning a Stanley Cup or even being in a Stanley Cup final. But you would look back on them as great players, as Hall of Famers and that. But
there was at times for Daryl and Lanny, you know, to be able to have some
playoff success. Yeah.
Getting over the Islanders and playing Montreal and then losing four straight to the Canadiens. And
yeah, but they got to the Final Four.
But they got to the Final Four. That was memorable. Leafs, obviously, with Mats a couple times, conference finals, Wendell.
Oh,
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
These guys need a conference final.
Because you're right.
At the very least, they need a conference final.
You're right.
Year.
We're going back to Pat Quinn's teams for 6 years. A lot of playoff success. You think of Gary Robertson, Mats, and all those people. You go back to Pat Burns' teams, and we keep dining off. Oh, boy, if Gretzky's high stick hadn't happened, but Doug Gilmore, Dave Andrechuk, you know, on and on and on. Wendell Clark, all those guys who played there. So, yeah, it's and playoffs, there's no better time, like with the Toronto Raptors, that the city's galvanized, the country's galvanized, and those games live on forever.
You know, not to, you know, we all love Rick Vive, Squid, Leaf alumni. We love him.
Yeah.
Right? But what should have been celebrated as one of the greatest goal scorers in Leaf history isn't, because of the lack of team success in his heyday.
Yeah.
He's paid a price for that lack of team success, right?
Well, they were bad teams.
They were.
Which is different than this team.
But he doesn't get as celebrated as he should.
Marcel Dion.
To the point where I believe his number should be in the rafters as the first 50-goal scorer in Leaf history.
There's still time for that, right? I would hope. I agree with you.
But why isn't he up there? Because of the lack of team success? There weren't memorable years?
Well, I would. Wendell's up there, and he's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. The others were all in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
But he had some memorable playoff.
Oh yeah, but I'm all, like moments. What I'm saying is I'm all good with that. That's what I'm saying. I'm advocating for Rick Vive. Once they, and I'm glad they open it up and appreciate but the ones that have given you great memories.
Is it the lack of success that?
I would say yeah, part of it yes. Other part, I don't know who votes. I mean, can't Brendan Shanahan put him up there?
I don't know how it works. Just take somebody
to put him up there, right? If that matters.
To your point, like you said, all that's true about Rick Vive, but we're potentially talking about the three of the top scoring players in the history of the franchise.
That's why I am kind of linking to those guys with the similar scenario that are you going to remember Austin's 60-goal seasons first or the fact that he couldn't win a game, that mattered to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final?
Well, you remember the individual. Like, I'll use Borya as an example. And then you say, Borya Sáming. And then you say, it's too bad he didn't get a chance to win a cup, whether it's with Toronto or somewhere else. But first, I think when you look back, and Sammy, we're in it now, so
yeah.
But when you look back, like, you appreciate and admire and give credit for what the player was all about. And then, whether it's, again, I use Marcel Dion in Los Angeles, Tony Gwynn as a baseball player with the San Diego Padres, just the list goes on and on about certain people. And we all wish there was a Ray Bourque finish, whether it's Rick Vive or Borya Sáming or, anybody, hopefully not Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and Mitch Marner, that there's a trio, 7 years from now, you're trying to find them a place to win to get a great Stanley Cup run.
Like, I guess it's the stakes of anybody that plays in Toronto, but a deep run, they don't have to even win the cup. But you go to game 7 of the conference finals, or you, God forbid, find your way into a Stanley Cup final, even if you lose, these guys go through a completely different level. I'm so terrified of having this era of Leafs hockey where if they all, Mitch Marner maybe not going to sign another, we don't know, but if he signs another contract here, the three of them will be the top three scorers in Toronto Maple Leafs history. And they could come paired with one playoff series win or two playoff series wins. It's a tough pill to swallow. That's all I'm getting at. And I just hope they go deeper this year for everybody's sake.
A month and a half would do the trick.
Yes.
The problem with
the goalposts have been so far moved.
The problem 2 years ago when they beat Tampa Bay was that you blinked and they were down 3-0 in the second round.
And the way
even
they
if that even if that series 100%. Went to a seventh game,
100%.
We probably feel a little differently.
Okay, there's my example. That's where Craig Berube now. Talk about the last three games. I would have taken those three wins in the first three games against Florida finding ways to win. Cause you're right. You got to, I remember being on with you and just saying as a lifelong Toronto guy after they beat Tampa Bay and oh my goodness, hallelujah. And then boom, well, seriously, you're not ready. Yeah. Don't look like you're ready to start the next round and you don't get going to game number 4. So that's where maybe finding ways to win when you don't play your best can come into play. Cause that certainly they put themselves in a hole right away.
All right, we'll take a quick break here.
I hope that didn't come across as too depressing, but I just watching all the stuff that happened yesterday with all these accolades and they're breaking records and they're moving up. It's just
Sammy, we're Friday's trade deadline.
I know.
A stone throw away from the first round of the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Typical Toronto media. Blah blah blah. Anyways.
No, typical Sammy McKee.
Yeah.
Don't lump us in there with you.
All right, let's
go. Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll bring in Luke Fox. Covers the Leafs for us here at Sportsnet.ca. Kalle Yonkrok is a return. Where does he fit in? The milestones, Wall versus Stolarz, plenty more still when we return after these words.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. Nick Kyprios, Gord Stellick, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Luke Fox, Sportsnet writer, Sportsnet.ca. We won't be in a few minutes. It'll be right now, Gord, right now.
Don't waste any time.
Luke, how are you, pal?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty excited to see Macklin Celebrini trying to find something to get excited about tonight's game. So I want to see this kid play hockey.
Was Gord mentioned maybe, is there anything going on with him? Is he a game time decision? Is he hurt? Have you heard anything, or are we missing something? And he's definitely in tonight.
Oh, this is news to me. I've been on the road. Is there an update? Yeah.
No, I think he got hurt on Saturday. It just was a question. That's all. It was nothing definitive one way or another, but there apparently was a little bit up in the air. But I take it if there's been no news is good news. So I'll make sure he's on the ice for you tonight, Celebrini, okay?
Yeah, I hope he's playing because they only come once a year. So I want to see what he has in store.
So from a point production, you couldn't ask for a better road trip, and I'm sure Craig Berube's guarding against the coming back home letdown here. They really need these points. It's going to be a tough schedule moving forward between Vegas and Colorado the rest of the week. But how important are banking these points when you reconsider winning the division?
Yeah, I think it's huge, Nick, just because Florida's right on their heels. Tampa's been on fire since, even before the Four Nations break, but certainly coming out of it. And I just feel like if you're in that 2-3 matchup and have to face one of the Florida teams, suddenly you might be looking at a 6 or 7 game series and you'd be hard pressed to win it. Winning the Atlantic, which is something they've never done, the only division they won was the North Division, it would just set them up with such an easier first round. I mean, I don't know if any of those teams in that muddled wild card race in the East scare you. They don't scare me at all. You think about a team like the Detroit Red Wings that the Leafs handle pretty much every time they play them. If you could get through the first round in 4 or 5 games and healthy and rested, like how much better would that suit you up for a second round? So I think it's imperative they bank points against a softer team like the Sharks tonight.
So part of what we've been discussing is the same old thing, trying to quantify what a regular season could do for a better playoff open. Because, Luke, the regular seasons just blend all together. Playoffs is where you make indelible marks, and they have too few positive ones. So we're looking at finding ways to win, because that's what this recent road trip was. It wasn't the best teams they were playing, but they won them in different manners. Would you see that? Well, and Mitch Marner has already found a big way to have success on a big stage with the Four Nations face-off, so I think that's one tangible thing. But do you think that this is a positive in moving forward and getting to where they really haven't gone before, which, for argument's sake, let's just say past 2 rounds?
Yeah, for sure. You look at the Pittsburgh game, which was a mess, turns into a bit of a track meet. No goalie can make a save, and they find a way to come out on the right side of that one. Anthony Stolarz basically stands on his head, wins them a game. So they're getting goalie wins, which is something brand new in terms of the sheer number of games where you could point to the goaltending and say, that's who stole them the game. And then they do have offensive bursts, so they can do it that way. I think one of the most impressive stats for the Leafs is they take a lead into the third period, they're 27-0. It doesn't always look pretty. Like, you needed the Willie Nylander overtime goal yesterday in order to make sure that record stands intact. But this is a team that has become very comfortable in close games. And what do we get in the playoffs? Close games. So I think all that experience in one-goal games, into holding on to leads, buckling down when you absolutely need to, or having your goalie make the next save, even if he's given up 5, as the case was Joe Woll on Sunday, I think that will serve them well.
You're listening to Luke Fox, Leafs and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Luke, just the feeling amongst maybe you and some of your colleagues down at the arena on how significant we could see the Leafs between now and Friday's trade deadline. Braden Schenn from St. Louis seemed to be the hot button topic for Leaf fans last week. St. Louis goes on a run now, gets themselves within a stone throw of a playoff spot. It's cooled down, but the thoughts about where and how significant tree living will get between now and Friday, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Just 2 hours ago, I did a hit in Saskatoon, and it was 25 minutes on the Shen brothers and how the Leafs need to reunite them. So there's still a little bit of buzz in the air for sure about that possibility. And, you know, it seems like, well, it's evident that Trey Living isn't willing to meet Doug Armstrong's price. But I think of Armstrong's track record, and I think he's really smart, and I think other GMs should probably take a page out of his book. He doesn't scrap and claw just to get a wild card spot. He's very good at identifying, do I actually have a contender or not? I remember one trade deadline, I think it was David Backes he sold, even though they were in a playoff position. Like he really values being a true contender over just sneaking into the dance. So I do think, you know, he's willing to part with some of his pieces if his prices are met. But Brad Treliving is going above and beyond to temper expectations for the fan base, for media. And maybe that's a ploy. Maybe that's, you know, some gamesmanship because there's still, a week to go here before deadline. But he's really trying to temper things down and saying, you know, and we might not make the headline-grabbing move. Sometimes moving the needle a little bit is enough. And is he being honest? Are we only going to see Nick Bjugstad, Luke Cunningham, you know, Yanni Gord? Are we going to see something like that? Or are we going to see an actual guy with some term, whether it's a Shen or both Shens or Scott Laughton or maybe something even bigger? I mean, you're floating out the idea that they would kick tires on Rantanen. Like something like that all of a sudden is a headline-grabbing move. But the way he's playing it out publicly is don't get excited yet.
Did the Saskatchewan station want you to sign their dad as well? Three of them? I can just imagine 25 minutes of Saskatchewan on the sheds.
Luke, has the 10 of injury done anything for you to say, okay, maybe we shouldn't focus so much on center ice and maybe the blue line might need some love?
I think the blue line does need some love, but I think center ice is still the number one priority. I think it's a relief that the Tanev injury looks short-term here. But here's a thought. They wanted to get Yanni Hakanpaa with this grand idea that eventually he'd play hockey again. That's not happening. So that's a depth piece that they thought they had, or they bet almost $1.5 million that they'd have. And that's gone. So I still think they do want a right shot, preferably someone with experience. So, you know, Shen, I don't think his cap hit is outrageous. He makes some sense. Ristolainen's available, more expensive. But, you know, I do think that we're going to see two moves. I do think they will get some defensive depth. I'm a big Simon Benoit guy. I thought Connor Timmins had a good first half of the season. But now that we've gotten into the dog days here, I think, you know, and the Tanev injury has underscored it, they need another guy. Because the idea isn't to play 7 games with this defense. The idea is to play 2 months with this defense.
Yeah, and, you know, the cap world, just when the cap world started, you know, you had Brian Leetch, Ron Francis, you know, traded for Owen Nolan. Although they did get Kelly Johansson, which puzzled me. So maybe they could get someone from Europe again. That one made no sense. I remember that back. So here's the thing, Luke. Like, Doug Armstrong's one team out of St. Louis. Like, what about New York and Boston, too? Like, all of a sudden, they're right there. They're 2 points away. There's, like, 8 teams with them. And I'm just really curious. Like, Rangers have made some seller trades, too. They've made both, right? The trade with Colorado was a seller trade. You know, there's been buyer trades. So there's a lot of kind of mixed messages out there. And I'm not saying maybe a player comes free for the Leafs or whatever it may be, but there could be some interesting teams kind of changing their philosophy over these next few days.
Yeah, and I mean the Rangers, I think we've seen that for a couple months. Boston's the interesting one, right? They already made the coaching change. You know, you got Brad Marchand there that wants to stay. Is it in the best interest of the team to re-sign him? That would totally change their culture if they let their captain go. But Trent Frederick, I think, is probably gone. You wonder about a guy like Brandon Carlo, Charlie Coyle even. You know, Don Sweeney's in a really fascinating position because you consider in the summertime, he went out of his way to bring in some high-priced free agents in terms of Elias Lindholm, Nikita Zadorov. Like, they were supposed to take a step, and instead they've taken a dramatic step backwards. The Bruins and Leafs guys, they share the record for the longest active playoff streak at 8 years. And suddenly Boston's in very grave danger of having that streak end. And it could be Toronto with the longest active streak.
Wow.
Yeah. And but I think the Bruins would probably look to, you know, do a quote-unquote rebuild on the fly type of thing. Like, I don't think they're going to strip it down. But they have to be serious that, you know, they're not playing well. Like, by any category, last I checked, they were bottom quarter in the league in both special teams, in goals for and goals against. You know, Jeremy Swayman, the whole thing's been a disaster since the start. Like, they have nothing going on. And I think they realize, and throw in the injuries to on the back end of Lindholm and McAvoy, it's just the writing's on the wall. It's not their year. So I think they have to take a hard look and sell off a couple pieces, see if they can, you know, get a bit younger and take another run at this later.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight before the Leafs hit the road again in Vegas Wednesday.
Celebrini's playing. Talked about how he's excited to play tonight.
So good news. All right. Enjoy his performance tonight, but not too much for Leaf fans. Okay, Luke?
Okay. Break some news, Nick. We're waiting.
No, Elliot. Elliot. Call Elliot. Okay. All right, buddy. Thanks for doing that.
Is Elliot going to burst on our stage?
I'd like to.
Like he did Saturday. That'd
be fun.
Cool.
Kimber, you put him in a headlock if you did that.
That is Luke Fox. So, yes, I think Celebrini said that this morning at the skate that he was good to go tonight.
Good. Yep.
So Luke would have known that if he didn't choose to go to the Golden Griddle for a stack of pancakes.
This guy's been on the road. He's grinding. He's taking time before the game to join us, and you're giving him a hard time.
This guy's
been all across America. He takes one morning skate off, and Kipper's all over him.
Gord, how many years? Golden Griddle guy. Are they still in business? Are they still around?
It used to be across from Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yes.
Golden Griddle. Yeah, absolutely. There was one near us on where the Fan used to be on Holly Street, Young and Eglinton area. Yeah.
Permanently closed, that location, as I quickly Google.
That's a good question, yeah. Is there a... I don't think it's around anymore, boys. Golden Griddle anymore. I got to say, when I came in, I got to commend you guys, because I thought at first, you know, having teenage kids, well, they're older than teenage kids like you, you and Sammy, very civilized, both looking for a phone charger, right?
Oh.
And that's become the way of the world nowadays. But you didn't start blaming each other or anything like that. You know, did you ever get that at home? Like about where's my charger?
Who took it,
whatever. And then you'd get pissed because they take your charger, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And you kind of say, look, can you just bring it back and all that, you know? So anyway, very organized, very civilized. You found one. Sammy found one. I was very impressed. That's the way teams should work, right?
Yeah.
That's what the Leafs need to do heading into the playoffs and in the playoffs.
Glad Sam and I could help you with your family issues, Gordon.
Yeah. the family, bigger family issues than just finding a charger. So I'll just leave. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. But that's the big thing. And right away, the kids get indignant about wherever their charger may be and accusatory.
Quick note.
Everything's great.
Leafs used to lose all the time in overtime.
Yeah.
They had a horrible overtime
record.
Remember they used to start David Camp in overtime because they were totally broken by it? Now they've won seven straight in overtime. They lost their two to start the year, and they've won seven straight now. Franchise record.
Luke mentioned, matching a price for, possibly St. Louis. But you got to know for sure players are still available, right? You, as a general manager, we'll get into this in the National Hour, but how many times you've made a call and the story changed?
Oh, totally.
Right?
Totally. And then there's...
Are they still available this week? They were available last week. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to go in a different direction. We'll talk about that in the National Hour as well. Great job so far, guys.
We'll keep it up.
Keep the energy up.
We will. But how about the Maple Leafs? If Boston's out, the longest streak, 9 consecutive years in the playoffs this year. And if they don't win this year, they only got one playoff series win to show for it.
Ouchie.
All right, we spread the news nationally. Coming up next, Dan Murphy, host of Hockey Night in Canada. We'll get into the Canucks as well.
Oh, boy.
Plenty more on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away.